The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, did you get your case of Omicron yet? Did that show up in the mail? Did you get that special delivery from Amazon? Amazon Prime, maybe, just same day delivery, perhaps, Omicron. Everybody's going to get it. And so the question is, what happens now? So some pretty interesting things I want to go through with you today. Welcome back, by the way. Happy New Year. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website, as always. Or you can go to Facebook, where you could join us literally right here in the studio. Just at the Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show on Facebook, and go to the Facebook Live broadcast right now, a la live, and then YouTube Live, which is right now, a la live. So if you want to join us here in the studio, this was – all right, so what do you do with this? Then I want to get to these couple of articles. Fauci must go. This just came out today. From the editors at the National Review, and just some great things here. I'm trying to set us up for what's coming next, okay? Get us prepared as people of the book, which means people of truth. Get us prepared for what's coming next. And so Fauci must go from the editorial board at the National Review came out just today. And then another story that came out just today, which is fascinating. Why the ruling class minions are so suddenly doing damage control on COVID. Have you noticed that? Like even Walensky the other day admitting that the death numbers for COVID are, quote unquote, inflated. Now, how inflated? That's going to be interesting. So what's going on here? So in this particular article, I want to take you through a term that I hadn't heard before called limited hangout, which is actually espionage jargon. Limited hangout is espionage jargon for strategy of acknowledging facts when a cover story is blown in order to preserve the operation. Okay. And so I'm going to get to that. Fascinating. But just to kind of set the table here for all of us, in case you haven't gotten your Omicron yet, the NHL. So this is going on all across the fruited plain when it comes to sports. The NHL, which is essentially 100% vaccinated, the NHL players, the NHL coaches, the NHL staff, all the NHL people, they're 100% vaxxed, two vaxxed, double shot, and boosted, 100%. Okay, across the board, the NHL, done a great job of that. Great, depending on your perspective. However, this hockey season, which started a couple months ago, this hockey season, 70% of all of them have tested positive for COVID, and that would be Omicron at this point. So they're all getting Omicron, even though they're 100% double jabbed plus the booster, and they're still all getting COVID. And when we say COVID now, we're talking about Omicron. So they'll say COVID, but they go, well, is it the original strain? Not anymore. Is it Delta? Not anymore. It's Omicron. 97-98% of all cases nationwide right now are Omicron, which you should be praising the Lord for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the – listen, let's just thank the Father right now, okay? Join me. Let's just thank the Lord. Father, we just want to come and thank you for the way that you establish creation and that there's order and that there's trust and faith that we can have in the way you've established it, Lord, that as a result of the fall, we have these viruses and things that happen. But you allow not only inside your special creation and us the ability to create natural immunity, but that in the system itself, there's grace and mercy, Lord, because as these viruses mutate, they become weaker. So we're to a point now where just about all of us are going to get this version of COVID, but it's even weaker than the other ones. And so we praise you for that mercy. And Lord, help us to help our elected officials from the president on down to accept reality and to lay down power. And that's a big ask, Lord, because of our fallen nature. But that's what we all pray for wisdom and discernment, fairness and truth from all of our leaders from the top on down. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. So there you go. Just about everybody's going to get Omicron. And it's very weak for the overwhelming majority of us. The overwhelming majority of us, it was weak anyway when it came to regular old COVID. And then we had Delta, and now we have Omicron. Okay, so That's just the deal. So what's out there right now, as I'm looking at Worldometers, and we're going to look at the United States of America, and how many Omicron cases do we have? Okay, new daily cases in the United States. And by the way, this is massively underreported, okay? Because, like me, I'm pretty darn sure I had Omicron around Christmas. I was going to go get a test, then I was like, what difference does it make? Really? I felt a little lousy for a couple of days, then I bounced back, thank you, Lord, and that was it. And so 3 years ago, if you felt a little lousy, had a bit of a sinus thing, had a little bit of a headache, tiny little fever, you're a little achy, you're like, oh, I think I have the flu. It seems like a mild form of the flu. And you wouldn't go get tested. I've had the flu several times. I've never been tested for it. That's back, you know, back in the wild, wild west 3 years ago when we used to just kind of suck it up and muscle through, right? That's what we did. Not anymore. Now you got to go get tested. So we're massively undercounting. So here's what happened recently, okay? And this is all Omicron. Omicron's all over the place, but it's exceptionally weak compared to the original strain of COVID, and we thank the Lord for that. January 13th, okay, 5 days ago, we had 174,000 cases that we know of. The next day, 159 cases. The next day, we're dropping, okay? And that's good, right? The next day, January 15th, a huge drop to 579,000 cases, right? And then we don't have data for... yeah, we do. Yesterday, 425,000 new cases yesterday. So up it goes. It spikes, it spikes, it spikes back at the beginning of the year, January 6th, January 8th, in there. 800 grand or more per day. And now we've done almost in half, okay? Then you come down and you look at the death rate because you should see the death rate go up because we have so many people getting Omicron. Of course, you're going to have a few more people. You're going to see the death rates go up, daily death rates, okay? So... the worst we've ever been is back a year ago, January 21st, 2021. Okay, we're up around 4,000, 4,400, really bad. Then we dropped way down to July, just last July, this past summer, down to 331. That's a really low, 163. We had 163 deaths on July 5th, okay? Then we came back up. And in the middle of September, we were up over 2,000. Then we came down a little bit to around 1,600. Then we went spiked back up just about 4 or 5 days ago, and then that's going to come down. So it lags a little bit behind people getting sick because when you get sick, you don't. If you're going to die from it, it doesn't happen quickly. So it takes a little time. There's always some lag. But we thank the Lord that this one's really, really weak. So as we move out of the pandemic to an endemic, because that's what we are now. It's an endemic. It's not a pandemic anymore. What happens? What happens to all these little budding Emperor Palpatines out there that promised us when the war was over they would lay down their power? What's going to happen? Well, first of all, Fauci needs to get fired, which isn't going to happen until we switch the White House. And then a couple other things, which we'll talk about. I don't mind. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So what happens now that we've left or leaving the pandemic world? We're in the endemic world. We're all going to get Omicron. It sure seems that way. 97-98% of all cases nationwide. We do know this now, by the way. You can look this up yourself. Our Omicron. And Omicron, thank you, Lord, is a very weak version of COVID. And so they don't usually say that. They'll just say COVID. Because when you say the C word, you can maintain some level of fear. You say Omicron if you actually put some truth out there, which as people of the book, if you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, we try to be people of truth, right? And so, and let the chips fall where they may once you get the truth out there. But you have to be able to actually ascertain what the truth is. That's why the fix has been in for such a long time. So just kind of getting us prepared, thinking about what's coming next. As you start to see, even Walensky, the head of the CDC, is now willing to say, yeah, well, you know, the deaths and numbers are probably over, probably inflated because we haven't done a good job. We don't really know deaths from COVID or death with COVID. And then, there's people that come in, and my wife and I were watching this great scientist doctor the other day as YouTube thing. I'll have to look it up and I'll tell you about it. Give you that information probably tomorrow. And he was saying, okay, there's people that go to the hospital because of COVID. There's people that go to the hospital for totally unrelated things who happen to test positive for COVID, and we count them as COVID hospitalizations or COVID deaths. You get in a car accident and you actually test positive for COVID. They count you as a COVID death. Okay, this isn't like cray-cray stuff that somebody made up. This has actually happened. Okay, I'm not telling you anything that's not verifiable. And then you have another one, and this doctor was talking about, you have all kinds of people who are really unhealthy anyway. Those are the comorbidities people. And the COVID then pushed that over the edge. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. These are really unhealthy people, and COVID just was one too many. Okay? So how long is it going to take for us to get that information? I don't know that we're ever going to get that information. So I'll get to that. A fascinating article titled, Why the Ruling Class Minions Are So Suddenly Doing Damage Control on COVID. Because now they're willing to admit, even on CNN, you're starting to see some things there. Where they're like, well, yeah, you know, this has done a lot of damage, the shutdown things. So they're backtracking, but what's up with that? Do you trust that? Are these people all having a come to Jesus moment, embracing the truth? No way. So I'll get to that. But this was from the editors of the National Review just today. I love this title, Fauci Must Go. I can give that a big hearty amen, high five, air high five, because I don't want you to get COVID. It is past time for public health policy to shift to acknowledge that COVID-19 is an endemic disease and, for the most part, a risk for individuals to manage. Fauci stands in the way of executing that shift and communicating it to the public. Fauci's own behavior has undermined public trust in the response to the pandemic. By sitting for celebrity puff profiles and documentaries, no kidding. By stifling public debate about the origins of COVID-19 and the proper response to it. By responding in lawyerly and evasive fashion to questions about NIH research dollars supporting work at the Wuhan lab. In his nasty spats with Senator Rand Paul and other office holders, he hasn't simply parried criticisms, but tried to land political blows himself. It has always been bizarre that the head of an obscure agency has soaked up so much media attention. Over the past 2 years, Fauci has done so many interviews with so many outlets, from Sunday shows to obscure podcasts, that one wonders how he had time for his day job. Nearly everyone in Washington enjoys being in front of the microphone, but even the most shameless media hogs might blush at Fauci's interview schedule. It would be one thing if Fauci were merely delivering updates on the state of COVID, but he has gone way beyond that and delved into pure self-promotion. How did the appearance of Fauci on the cover of In Style, sitting by the pool in sunglasses, declaring, with all due modesty, I think I'm pretty effective, how does that advance public health? What a great question. Again, this is the editorial board at the National Review. Their article today, Fauci Must Go. When President Trump was inconstant, was inattentive, or seemed to wish away the crisis, Fauci presented a sober, reassuring confidence in the power of scientific inquiry to help us navigate this crisis. Remember those days? You know, like March? You got to go way back, okay? You go way back. You go way back to those days. And I'm like, oh, Fauci, this guy seems reasonable, right? That didn't last long. But that was a long time ago. They say in the article, by his own admission, Fauci misleads the public when trying to explain why, before he adopted them for himself, he has disparaged the use of cloth masks. He explained that people in the public health community were trying to preserve masks for frontline workers. Quote, there's no reason to be walking around with a mask, he said in March 2020. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face. That was a direct quote. He did not trust the public to restrain themselves, score this as a lie and a slur. This was the public that was already making wrenching, unthinkable sacrifices, with Americans foregoing the funerals of loved ones, surrendering their jobs and closing down their businesses. In an attempt to meet the untimely, unrealistic task public health had set for them of stopping the spread of COVID-19. They deserved better. They deserved candor. In December of 2020 interview with the New York Times, Fauci acknowledged, this is called Fauci Must Go. This is the editorial board at National Review. In 2020 interview with the New York Times, Fauci acknowledged that he had been continuously shifting the goalposts on when he thought herd immunity to COVID-19 might be reached. Reporter Donald McNeil Jr. correctly characterized this change as being based, quote, partly on Fauci's gut feeling that the country is finally ready to hear what he really thinks, unquote. This pattern of intentional deceit is totally unbecoming for a public servant. I would say it's totally normal at this point. Trying to shape or manipulate public opinion and behavior is not the job of public health experts. Their job is to clearly and candidly inform a self-governing people and their representatives. Trust works only if it goes two ways. A free, curious, and inquisitive people subjected to this behavior from their leaders will naturally recoil at other government claims about vaccines or therapeutics. I.e., 100% of the NHL is vaxxed, 70% of them have gotten COVID this season. They're double vaxxed and boosted, but they're all getting COVID. They're all getting Omicron, right? Fauci is peremptorily dismissed criticism of his work as criticism of science itself. I am science. Remember when he said that? The effect has been to bring science into disrepute. Fauci participated in and amplified the smoke and mirrors public relations campaign launched by EcoHealth Alliance's Dr. Peter Daszak to rule out the lab leak theory of COVID-19 as a conspiracy theory. Now we know, of course, this is true. Subsequent email leaks and FOI, Freedom of Information Act requests, have shown Fauci acting more like the head of a cartel of scientific experts. A post-pandemic investigation should determine, let's pray for that, whether the American and global health response to the pandemic was stymied and slowed because of the prejudices and hobby horses of a handful of bureaucrats in Washington, including Dr. Fauci, who control the distribution of $32 billion annually. Bow down at Fauci, otherwise you don't get your funding for your research, which is how all these other scientists make their money. It's how they live, okay? It's their purpose. Unbelievable. These dollars fund nearly all the lifeblood of biomedical inquiry, money that pays even the salaries of low-level biology professors. That's why everybody's got to toe the line. That's why it's like, come kiss Michael Corleone's ring. Otherwise, you're in trouble. One day I might ask you to do me a favor, right? Fauci's political disposition shape his alarmism and discredited him with a large swath of the country, I'm raising my hand, that any visible public health strategy has to be able to reach. He denounced people for attending college football games in a region of the country where COVID was in seasonal decline. No outbreak materialized. Remember that? He's been under fire from Republican senators and House members, and as he handled it increasingly poorly, he was caught on a hot mic calling Senator Roger Marshall a moron. Fauci claims that he himself represents the science and has admitted deceptions of the public are incompatible with each other and intolerably insolent to boot. He must go. Amen. So pray for the election in November. Elections have consequences. Pray for conservatives to get in there and pray that they go investigation crazy with Fauci and others. We'll be right back. Yeah, true. Might seem crazy, but it really isn't. I try to stick as close to the truth as I possibly can here on the show. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show. By the way, we love all our radio partners. You wouldn't be hearing my voice if it weren't for radio partners. That's all this started. Now we're on Facebook and YouTube and podcasts and all that good stuff. And that's awesome. We praise the Lord for that. But radio is the backbone of it all. But if you're on the radio and you never check out Facebook Live or YouTube Live, then you miss some portion of it. Because radio, just so you know, the show actually starts at 4:06 p.m. Eastern time because we're live. And then it ends just 10 seconds before 5 p.m. Okay, there's things in there with the clock. And so we actually have on the radio side about 40 minutes. But on the Facebook Live and YouTube Live side, we don't have to deal with commercial breaks. So we are actually closer to an hour. So I'll start talking to people on Facebook Live and YouTube Live at about 4:03, 4:04 Eastern time. And then during the commercial breaks, we continue to talk. Now, if you are only on the radio, the overwhelming majority of what I talk about and what I share with you and I try to inform you and try to help you as I'm doing for myself is on the radio. So we have sidebar. It's kind of like you've got the main outline on the radio and then some of the subpoints, which I don't have time for on the radio. I do that on the commercial breaks or on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, or we just kind of have a separate conversation or ask questions and we'll have a little more interaction there. So it's actually, I would say, a significantly different experience if you're on YouTube Live or Facebook Live, the Steve Noble Show, versus just the radio side. But they're all valuable and we praise the Lord for all of it. Okay, this was fascinating to me because if you notice, this is the point of today's show is to kind of let's all look into the future and see what's coming at us. As thank God we've gone from the pandemic to the endemic, and Omicron is a blessing because it's a really weak version of COVID. Okay, it's highly contagious, which is why everybody's getting it. 100% of the people in the NHL across the board are vaccinated, double vaxxed, and a booster, and 70% of them had already had COVID this season, which is Omicron doing its thing, right? But praise the Lord, it's very weak for the overwhelming majority of people. There's going to be more hospitalizations because so many more people, and those are just the ones that we actually know are being tested and if the test results can be trusted. And that's why all the numbers go up. But the numbers of they say 800,000 people tested positive for Omicron. The reality is it could be 1.6 million. I had it. Pretty sure I had it. I didn't go get tested because what's the point? And in another year, you know, if we ever get back to normal and you don't feel so great, you'll work it out. You'll work through it. Unless you get really sick, But if it's just annoying, you'll deal with it. You might stay home. You might social distance yourself a little bit because you got a cold. Maybe I got the flu. And you work through it. That's how we did it, you know, for like 5,000 years. All right, so the narrative's changing. So we're watching. They're starting to admit some things here and there, which is why this is such an interesting article. Why ruling class minions are so suddenly doing damage control on COVID. This is by Stella Morabito. This just came out today. Whenever you see truth escaping from the lips of liars like steam from a pressure cooker, you should assume something bigger is cooking under the cover. That's the intro, right? Makes perfect sense. Corporate media and its government allies seem to be making peace with reality by fessing up to the damages caused by insane policies on COVID. Nothing could be further from the truth. Yes, recently a host of pundits, politicos, and quote-unquote experts seem to be coming clean about facts on the ground, finally acknowledging what most Americans have known for nearly 2 years, that the never-ending lockdowns and mandates have done colossal damage to our society, to our economy, and, most tragically, to our children. But these self-appointed overlords are simply engaged in a form of damage control, a limited hangout. We'll get that definition here in a minute. A limited hangout. When they can no longer hide their lies, they acknowledge the obvious in order to keep their biggest lies on life support. It's a reframing exercise meant to preserve the wider agenda of consolidating power. See, doesn't this sound a little, ooh, 007, right? Ooh, consolidation of power. Well, you gotta wake up to this stuff. Okay, this is going, I've done entire shows on the Great Reset. That's going to factor here in a minute. Back to this article. I wish I could agree with those who feel this means we've reached a turning point, a light at the end of the tunnel of our Wuhan virus nightmare. Rather, I think we need to gird our loins for a bigger fight. Propagandists have no intention of telling us the whole truth, ever. So a little history of the term limited hangout. Limited hangout is an espionage jargon for a strategy of acknowledging facts when a cover story is blown in order to preserve the bigger operation. The 1970s gave us this example of the Watergate in the Watergate transcripts. Okay, President Nixon asked his advisors, "You think we want to go this route now and the let it hang out, so to speak?" Bob Haldeman and John Dean assured him it was a limited hangout. John Ehrlichman then chimed in, "A modified limited hangout. Only give them enough, maybe to throw them off the trail. We're going to admit to some stuff, but we're going to keep the real." We're going to keep the real lie, the big whopper. We'll keep that hidden. Okay, that's the point. According to USA Today, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton applied a limited hangout when she confessed, remember this, to using a private email server instead of the State Department server she was legally required to use for official business. Since she couldn't deny it, she gave a non-apology apology, explaining it was simply for the sake of convenience. She insisted the server would remain private and then got by with the help from some well-placed friends. So whenever you see truth escaping from the lips of liars like steam from a pressure cooker, you should assume something bigger is cooking, possibly explosive, under the cover. But what's behind the fear-mongering, okay? Now stick with this. Don't go all, hey, Steve, you're like a conspiracy theorist all of a sudden. No, it's taken a couple years. Now I've gotten there. And I don't think this stuff is conspiracy theorists. I think that the world is this dark. The spirit of the age is this powerful. So we're struggling with all this, okay? I think that's just the deal. So let's keep going. The relationship of truth to propaganda. The most informative book I've ever seen on propaganda remains Jacques Ellul's 1965 classic, Propaganda, the Formation of Men's Attitudes. Ellul offers something big for us to keep in mind when we're trying to figure out intentions hidden by a limited hangout, psychological projection. Quote, "The propagandist will not accuse the enemy of just any misdeed. He will accuse him of the very intention that he himself has and of trying to commit the very crime that he himself is about to commit." It's kind of like gaslighting. "He who wants to provoke a war not only proclaims his own peaceful intentions, but also accuses the other party of provocation. The accusation aimed at the other's intention clearly reveals the intention of the accuser. But the public cannot see this because the revelation is interwoven with facts. Our ruling propagandists have to backtrack since so much of their COVID narrative has collapsed. But be prepared for them to promote a new and improved blame game against their chosen villains, including Republicans, the unvaccinated, and so on. Joe Rogan, you name it. That's likely why we're seeing a coordinated, modified, limited hangout. It involves all the usual left-wing media outlets. It involves the director of the Centers for Disease Control and others leading the medical establishment, including Dr. Fauci's double-sided mouth. It involves Democrat leaders like Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who in an about-face is now insisting that schools open. Did you catch that? That's why they went to war with the school board, the school teachers union in Chicago, because they're like, we're not going back because these kids are going to kill us. And she's like, yes, you are. Wait a second. Hey, Lori, not 12 months ago, you were all for shutting all the schools down like infinitum, like infinitely, because we're all going to die, right? So she's changed. Did you notice that? We should view any future attempt to revive the fear-mongering and enforced isolation with a very watchful eye. Events are moving along rapidly, and limited hangouts seem to be multiplying. There's no telling where they may lead. Clearly, the ruling class needs to try to reestablish its own credibility and its lost trust with the now restive masses. They also need to lay the groundwork to shift the blame for the disasters they promoted. All the while, they're subject to the constant pull of their addiction to power. That's Fauci, classic. My guess is, the author says, that many in government and the media feel closer than ever to their goal of consolidating power, and they are willing to achieve it at any cost and by any means. Why do you think the Democrat Party went with Joe Biden? Because he's an empty suit, and empty suits are really, really convenient because you can put anything in them you want, right? So this is now the author here goes on to mention something we've talked about for a couple of years now, which is the Great Reset. Consider World Economic Forum founder Klaus Schwab's book, The Great Reset. According to him, COVID-19 is tailor-made to usher in a centralized globalist state in which he and his billionaire buddies control the means of production, distributing all goods, all services, and all information, assuring us that we'll be happy not owning a single thing. Now, that sounds like a James Bond movie, doesn't it? It's not. I'm telling you. If you just do us both a favor, okay? Please. If you think, whenever I mention The Great Reset, that it just sounds like cuckoo nutty stuff, then go Google it yourself. They have a website under the World Economic Forum. The Great Reset. Videos, explanation. It's all there in plain sight. They are not hiding anything. None of them, nothing about all of this is in the closet anymore. It's all out, easily ascertained, studied, and understood by you. So just go Google it yourself, okay? Don't take my word for it. In 30 minutes, you can get highly educated on The Great Reset, and it will disturb you, okay? So what's the next play? This is in the story I'm reading from. Why ruling class minions are so suddenly doing damage control on COVID. And I'll put the links up for it, okay? That and Fauci Must Go from the National Review. I'm going to do that right now in the commercial break when we come back. So what's the next play? What's coming at us? And just remember, my Christian brothers and sisters, one day what's coming at us is the kingdom. A new heaven and a new earth. All this stuff will be gone. But in the meantime, we need to be like the Bereans. We need to be discerning. We need to be wise. We need to be skeptical. We'll be right back. Caught in a street fight. You need a lifeline. Go on and use me. I like a good street fight. Not a physical one, but mental, emotional, spiritual street fight. We're in one. We will be one until you go home to be with the Lord or he comes back. But that's just the deal, all right? So just settle in for it. It is what it is. You can't run away from that. You live in a very broken, dark world. It's getting darker. It's getting more broken all the time. And Jesus will take care of that eventually. And so if you're in Christ and he's your one and only ticket to heaven and you put all your faith in him, realizing that you can't possibly be perfect because you can't, then this is all short-term stuff, right? This is a blown tire on the way to Disney. Big deal. Whoop-de-doo. Get it changed. Move along. And that's what's going to happen here. But it doesn't decrease the frustration and the concerns that we have today. And that's fine. We should lament over that. We should engage. We should be people of truth. We should try to help other people move towards towards the gospel itself so that they can experience the fruit of the Spirit. Right? So have you struggled with the fruit of the Spirit in the midst of all this craziness for the last couple of years? I certainly have. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I've struggled with all that stuff. And that's what the devil wants. He can't take your salvation, but he can get you to sell your joy down the river for a bowl of stew like Esau did. And we start to think that all this stuff is all there is, but there it isn't. And so even when you grieve over the world, just don't grieve as those who have no hope. Okay, remember that. So talking through a bunch of different angles. What's coming next as the COVID empire begins to shrink and all those that have gained power and prestige, what are they going to do when you take away their toys? That's what this article is about that I'm working my way through. Well, we're working our way through it. Why ruling class minions are so suddenly doing damage control on COVID, and the author of this is asking, so what's the play? What's the next play? Okay, and this talked about the Great Reset. And if you think that's kooky, I just shared on Facebook Live the links. You can go look it up for yourself. Just Google the Great Reset. The very first thing you're going to find is a link to the worldeconomicforum.org /great-reset. Boom. This is real. Okay, they've been talking about it for a few years now. Klaus Schwab, who's like right out of an old James Bond movie, is the guy leading this up. Okay, and I'll read some of this stuff for you in a second, but let's finish with this article. So what's the next play? The author asks, do we have any idea what plan B might be? If populations increasingly refuse to go along with the vaccine mandates and shutdowns, and we should, how might they be, quote unquote, persuaded to comply? Would a much more virulent pathogen do it? Complete social breakdown through runaway violent crime with no real law enforcement? Or maybe an ominous threat from a nuclear-empowered Iran or China? We don't know. But whether this virus was released deliberately, accidentally, or even naturally, it's not naturally, accidentally most likely, but it was created deliberately, you can bet your bottom dollar on that. Some future disaster, whether manufactured, accidental, or natural, is a certainty. Given the tenacity of the globalist class, think the Great Reset, to get their way, no matter the cost, in treasure and human life, the experts or philanthropists and great and petty bureaucrats will be there to take up the challenge. There is no theory, conspiracy, or otherwise. It's simply the openly discussed vision, the consensus of a globalist oligarchy. I'll read you their own words here in a minute. They've been outspoken about wanting to destroy Western culture and freedoms and all of our institutions. They constantly talk to one another and coordinate across silos of government, big tech, media, and academia. That's exactly, I'll read it to you, or just go look up the Great Reset yourself. It's real, okay? It's coming. It's getting momentum. COVID has done that. What should terrify us most in all of this is the utterly cultish mindset in the ruling class of elites. Isn't that true? It's like a cult. They really believe they know best and must tell us what to do, that we're too stupid to understand their glorious vision of the future. It sounds like a movie script, doesn't it? Fits well into the Bible. With the aid of big tech, they aren't shy about threatening to cancel and crush us if we defy them. In the end, just ask Joe Rogan or Dr. Malone, any of these folks, frontline doctors. In the end, they'll take advantage of any opportunities provided by any crisis to exercise their power. This is the kernel of what is limited, hidden in their sudden hangouts of facts. So the sudden hangout is like, oh yeah, the numbers are off here and there. But what they're hiding is the bigger thing, the bigger lie, okay? Meaning they want to take over the world, which again, I know it sounds crazy, but it isn't. Revelation takes us in the direction of a one world government, okay? If we hope, and that's going to happen. God's way will come to pass. If we hope to hang on to freedom, we should be prepared to exercise some serious asymmetric resistance. At the very least, we should have learned never to comply with such cruel and unusual punishment. Perhaps the next time, not quite ripe for us for using the Wuhan virus to squash freedom. But the next crisis is right around the corner, and the ruling elites have no intention of letting it, quote unquote, go to waste, which is a reference of Rahm Emanuel. Okay, he used to be Obama's chief of staff. So here we go. Let me just read it to you. Right out here in the open, World Economic Forum, weforum.org /great-reset. But save yourself a second and just Google or whatever search engine you use, the Great Reset, the Great Reset. And it's going to come right up, World Economic Forum. So here it is. I'm looking at it. This is their really well-done website. There is an urgent need for global stakeholders. Who's a global stakeholder? That's the elite, right? The rich, the wealthy, the powerful. There's an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of COVID-19 crisis to improve the state of the world. The World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. Oh, wow. Thank you. That's so nice of you. Here's the context. The COVID-19 crisis and the political, economic, and social disruptions it has caused is fundamentally changing the traditional context for decision-making. This is a big vision. The inconsistencies, inadequacies, and contradictions of multiple systems, from health and financial to energy and education, are more exposed than ever amidst a global context of concern for lives, livelihoods, and the planet. Leaders find themselves at a historic crossroads managing short-term pressure against medium and long-term uncertainties. That's the context. Here's the opportunity. I'm reading from the Great Reset website, okay? As we enter a unique window of opportunity to shape the recovery. This is good flowery language. This initiative will offer insights to help inform all those determining the future state of global relations, the direction of national economies, the priorities of societies, the nature of business models, and the management of a global commons. Drawing from the vision and vast experience of the leaders engaged across the forum's communities, the Great Reset Initiative has a set of dimensions to build a new social contract that honors the dignity of every human being. Wow, that's awesome. Can you hear the hiss of the snake? So then you go down the page, they got all these videos, they have their, and you start looking up their partners and stuff, and you're going to, these are some of the most powerful entities and people on the planet. Leaders of corporations themselves, the wealthiest people, leaders of states and nations. It's crazy. You can filter by industry. You can, all the partners, okay? Here, I'll just do the letter A, okay? This is a huge list. A letter A. I'll just filter it as I go. See which ones we recognize. Okay, these are all groups, businesses, organizations that are part of the Great Reset. The AARP, Abbott Labs, Accenture, Adobe. You know, Adobe. Let's see. Aegis, they're huge. AgroAmerica, huge. AIG, huge. Airbus. Okay, you recognize some of these, right? The Alibaba Group, which is enormous. Allied Bank, Allied Digital Services, Amazon. You knew that was going to come up. The American Heart Association. These are all groups that are involved in one way or another. Anheuser-Busch. I'm just ripping through this. See some things I recognize. Of course, Apple, the Artisan Group. AstraZeneca, that's big pharma. What else is in here? Axis Bank. Let's just flip around. Okay, let's do B. Here's B. Who's in here? Who are we going to recognize? Bahrain Economic Development Board. Oh, there's some. Bain Capital. You know, he used to work there. He might still have some holdings there. That would be Mitt Romney, Bain Capital. Let's see. Bangkok Bank, that's a big one. Bank of America, Bank of China, Barclays, BASF, Bear. Wow. Are you nervous yet? BlackRock, Blackstone Group, Bloomberg. What a shock. Boeing. I'm just reading through it. I'm just grabbing some as I go. What else? Let's flip to C. This should open your eyes, okay? These are all groups that are involved in the Great Reset one way or another. The global elite. Sounds like crazy, isn't it? Sounds crazy. Cantor Fitzgerald. They're huge. I'm just going through it. Chevron. Yeah, not a small company. Cisco. Not a small company. Some of you probably work for Cisco. Coca-Cola. Interesting. Who else is in here? Credit Suisse. Wow. CVS Health. Wow. And the hits just keep coming. Okay. So you go look at all this stuff and you just work your way through it and you're going to be like, okay. So this is the play. It's the play that's God has known about since before the foundations of the world. Okay. And so that's all going on. You think, oh, the federal government, Joe Biden. Oh, there's a lot more powerful forces involved than just what's going on in D.C. And they will use whatever they can to corral people in order to craft their vision of the world. Any vision other than God's. And that's the battle that's been going on since we got kicked out of the garden. But one day, we won't have to do radio shows. We won't have to have podcasts. We don't have to talk about any of this stuff because the Lord will take care of it. And that should give you a great measure of peace. So don't sell that peace down the river for a bowl of stew. And don't let the mainstream media and the news of the day rob you of that. Don't let them rob you of it. Don't. That's one of the greatest things we can do for a lost world is show them the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. This is Steve Noble at the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward. This could be-
another program powered by the Truth Network.